Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, I wanted to talk about Italy. Very briefly, if I can, because I want to come to this bedroom tax in a second. But according to some businesses over there, Italy's businesses have begun to act out against government coronavirus regulations with small acts of civil disobedience. They've adopted a three-way system, by the way, in Italy of restrictions shortly before Christmas, and has since been changing up measures on a regional basis depending on the latest coronavirus infection rates or data. And restaurants and cafes in several regions have been forced to shut down to operate as takeaways only to avoid people assembling in large groups outdoors. They're a little bit behind us, I suppose, in that sense. But several businesses across the country have begun to protest, demanding clearer and fairer rules from the government. And businessman Armando Minuto said he will be he is willing to be fined but wants to keep his restaurant open after months of being forced shut. He said, "We can't do this anymore. This is what we call a polite protest." So essentially what has happened is, it's not just him, by the way, there was a whole, I don't know whether you've seen it online, they give a big speech, there was a big protest, a lot of people outdoors, and the whole movement is called I'll Open, which is the translation for what they say in Italian. It's called I'll Open, and it's now a trend that's happening across not just Italy, but Europe. I know in Poland, they're doing something similar as well, where restaurants are saying, if we all open, they can't close us all. Their argument is, of course, they can't keep closing because they're losing too much business, staff are losing money, people can't pay mortgages and bills, etc., etc., and they just can't keep doing this. Now, in Ireland, for example, it has been suggested that restaurants will be closed, probably until at least March or possibly the end of April. Wet pubs, no end in sight there, by the way. The suggestion is even August before any of that part of the hospitality opens up. And a lot of hospitality, some of them, it suits them, by the way. There are some small pubs, I've heard stories about small pubs who are losing money anyway, and now they're being subsidised by the state, and it kind of suits them to stay closed. That wouldn't be the majority. The majority are losing a lot of money, losing a lot of staff losing, I suppose, in despair because they've lost their jobs, essentially. And I want to know if you think this is irresponsible, this movement. So this movement towards people opening their businesses in defiance of the government regulations. Do you believe it's an irresponsible movement? Now, there is a big movement happening, I believe, on the 30th of January across Europe. I think it's called Open Up or something similar to that. Again, there's a hashtag online for it. And they're telling all businesses across Europe just to open in defiance of government regulations. So, in other words, hospitality in general believe that they've been unfairly targeted throughout this. So let me know if you agree with this movement, or do you believe it's grossly irresponsible in the current pandemic? Let me know. The number is 087-188-0008. Is it grossly irresponsible, or do you believe, well, I can't really blame them now. It's got to that point now. Let me go to John. John, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, John?
Well, good afternoon, Niall. How are you doing?
Good. John, do you believe it's irresponsible of people, particularly when you have countries with high numbers, which we have at the moment, and Italy would have too, and many other countries, the UK as well, you know, for these businesses to open up in defiance of the government?
No, and I fully endorse it, and I hope that the Irish people here, the Irish business, will start opening and telling the government to go away. Because now, let's be honest, businesses have been in lockdown for what? Since last year?
Best part of a year on and off, yeah. Yeah,
One minute they're open, the next minute they're shut, the next minute people are going to work, the next minute they're going back home again to sit at home for the next 3 or 4 months. The government then are not even having an open debate on this. You know, at the end
well,
of the day,
well, the government will argue they don't need an open debate. They'll say the bottom line is, as far as we're concerned, that's where people congregate, pubs, bars, restaurants, and this is the biggest risk, you know, for people, I suppose, when it comes to the spread of COVID-19, as far as the government are concerned.
Niall, at the end of the day, the government have never had an open... You had an interview last week where a chap said these lockdowns are not the way to go.
This is Professor John Lee in the UK. Yeah. Yeah.
And an open debate is where we need to go in this whole issue going forward, because this thing is going to be with us for many, many years to come. The fact of the matter is, I mean, if I was a business today, I would tell the government to go away with themselves. I need to get myself, you know, back open up, operational, get back into business again.
Yeah, but if you open up on your own, the guards are just going to come in, close you down, and most likely take your license off you.
It's not even that, Niall. How many businesses are going to be destroyed and lost out?
Oh, many, 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 many businesses will be destroyed.
You know, I mean, you're talking about, there's a lot of English businesses who have come to here in Ireland over the last number of years. How many more lockdowns are they going to go and take on and go, do you know what? I'm moving back to England. You know, your Debenhams and all that kind of stuff. All that's happening already. Businesses are just packing up and going away. They're just sick of it at this stage. And I agree with the people in Europe, saying to the government, your lockdowns, we don't want to hear them anymore. We don't want to see any more around lockdowns. The fact of the matter is, if the government was open about this whole thing and their numbers, because again, when you see the numbers on the television each 6 months, they're not broken down. They're just the same old numbers petered out time and time again.
Well, they're not the same. The numbers change on a nightly basis, obviously. They're not the same numbers.
Well, it's not even that. There's never a breakdown of it. I mean, you have
They give you an age breakdown in relation to cases, but not in relation to the amount of people that die.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, they say 6,000 people have been in hospital with COVID-19. Now, they never say what they were actually being in hospital with. They just mention
this is
the COVID
the figure of 1,800 and whatever it is yesterday.
Whatever the figures are today. The fact of the matter is, they never give you a breakdown what they actually initially went into hospital with. And because they tested positive, then suddenly the only thing that matters to their condition, their medical condition, is the COVID. So, I mean, we're not getting a true picture of anything from the government.
Okay, I'm not going to disagree with you that we need more transparency when it comes to hospitalizations, when it comes to, sadly, people passing away, to put more perspective into this. And I'm not going to completely disagree with that. But the argument from some people, and I'm just giving the argument from the other side, is that if hospitality opens back up, and hospitality are the ones that have been picked on from the very start, I mean, look, wet pubs haven't really been open at all in the last year, that if they start opening back up again, that this will increase the spread, because according to the government, the reason we're seen higher numbers of cases now is because of the kind of 2 weeks that we went a bit mad before Christmas. Well, we did it. Well, I don't believe we went mad. I think we just enjoyed life as human beings. But they're saying that we went a bit mad, and that's the reason. Not the fact that it's probably seasonal anyway, to be honest with you.
No, you know the reason, and I've said this to somebody over the weekend, the reason why these lockdowns are coming about all the time is that the HSC cannot manage its inload of patients coming.
Well, because they don't have the staff. The staff are all at home, self-isolating.
Initially, the HSC cannot manage on a yearly basis the amount of influx of patients that go in and out of emergency departments. And at the end, now what they're saying to the Irish people is, now, you take on the failures of us for the last number of years. How many people are going to live like that forever? I know I'm not. And I know I agree with them people in Europe for not living like that either. At the end of the day, we need to get back to our normal lives. And if the numbers go up, they go up. And if they come down, they come down.
Would you be happy then? And would you come on the air and talk to me, let's say, for example, if suddenly more and more people start dying?
Niall, at the end of the day, you have flus out there that are taking people out. You have other
diseases and illnesses. I'm aware of that, yes. But you don't want to be adding to it either, I suppose, is the argument, isn't it?
Look, these people can put up the argument, the numbers are good.
Okay, let me somebody put up the other side of the argument, because Stephen, anyway. Hang on, John. Stephen, you're on Classic Kids.
Okay. How are you,
Noel? How are you doing, Stephen? Okay, Stephen, this movement across Europe, which started off in Italy, now it seems to have moved to Poland and other countries as well, and they're kind of calling on all businesses to open up in defiance of the government. They did it in Italy over the weekend with thousands of restaurants opening in defiance of state regulations. Do you believe that's irresponsible?
Absolutely. That guy's name, John, there.
He is there.
Seriously, yeah, like, I am
does here. He, does he work in a hospital? Does he have to deal with the patients that are dying and that are very sick because of this? And why would we knowingly then inflict more stuff on people, like having to deal with that?
Right, you're asking me a direct question about your hospital intake there. Okay, what's your name, Stephen, is it?
Yeah.
Right, okay, Stephen. Nice to talk to you. The fact of the matter is, over the last number of years, we had a flu epidemic in this country. We had trolleys galore in hospitals, and we never had so many lockdowns. We had people dying of the flu. We had old people dying of the flu, and we never had this carry-on that's going on at the moment.
You wouldn't have had the numbers dying, in fairness, that you have now. I'm not disputing the fact that, you know, last March we thought COVID-19 was a lot more dangerous than it actually is. I'm not disputing that. But in saying that, the numbers of people that would have died of influenza certainly wouldn't be as high as the numbers of people. And again, within the age group that we're talking about, the elderly people dying of COVID-19, John.
No, but the fact of the matter is, a lot of people are dying of other illness or other associated illnesses.
I absolutely agree with you. I do. That's why I'm not disagreeing with your point about transparency. By the way, sorry, Stephen, you know, a lot of these businesses are suffering really badly.
Yeah, I understand that, Noel. And obviously, businesses affect people. There's people behind all of this, you know. So there's people behind losing their jobs. There's people behind working in the hospital. So it's about a balance now. John mightn't agree that the balance is right at the moment. But
it's
in my
not.
Opinion,
no, I don't, Steve.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, we went with John's theory 3 weeks before Christmas, and then we have 60 or 50 people dying every
there
day.
There is an argument by many scientists out there in relation to, well, because the same thing happened in the UK. There is an argument that those numbers would have gone up anyway because of seasonality. That this time of the year, Stephen, most likely the numbers would have gone up anyway. I mean, I did hear somebody yesterday on radio, a minister, I can't remember who it was, and he was blaming students. He was saying it was the students who came home for Christmas who spread the virus, you know, who increased the numbers. And then somebody else said it was the party goers, the people who went out from offices for restaurants for a meal. And this constant blame game, all this, it doesn't, Stephen, it doesn't really matter whose fault it was. It's there, it's with us, we need to deal with it. It doesn't matter whose fault it is.
My point, Noel, is that John wants to open up restaurants and go, we live about our normal life. But what I'm saying to you is that his theory was put into practice before Christmas, and look where the numbers went. Micheál Martin said the other day that if he knew then what he knows now, that probably wouldn't have happened.
But there is an argument there, and there's a research out there last week, and Professor John Lee, who we had on the show on Friday, pointed to new research, I think it was from Stanford, he mentioned, that shows that lockdowns don't actually work. And in fact, some of the research suggested they had the opposite effect, because as we've been told, you know, the majority of spread is in the family home, and here we are telling people to stay at home. So, I know, I understand they have to get out to catch it to bring it home in the first place, but the point is that these, according to some scientists, these lockdowns make zero difference. And you take, for example, Florida. And I read an article there yesterday about many Americans are now moving to the state of Florida because they've no lockdowns, no mandatory mask wearing, although people are wearing masks in shops and what have you. And yet, if you look at their debt rate and case numbers at the moment, it's pretty much the same as here. And we're in a lockdown. So there is an argument that countries have had the most severe lockdowns have had a lot of cases and deaths. And some that hadn't had really severe lockdowns could have had less. So lockdowns don't seem to be the answer either. And Stephen, we've got to balance it out with the damage that's done to society, the economy,
and people's
mental health. So I do understand the point John is making. I'm not disagreeing with you, Stephen, and I know there's a huge amount of pressure on our health service. I understand the people who have to work on the front line and deal with that. But there's a balance to be sought somewhere, isn't there?
Absolutely. And you also have to wonder, what sort of a lockdown have you got at the moment? Like, there's business closed, but there's still an awful lot of people moving around. There's much more people moving around now than there was
in March. I absolutely agree with you. But what can you do? What can you do? Lock people in their homes?
Yeah, but there's a lockdown in theory or a lockdown in practice. Like, that's I think what we need to come to terms in the sense of...
Let me ask you a question. Let me say you were head of NPHET or head of the government. It was your decision tomorrow, Stephen. What would you do? I know that you're sorry, I'm putting you on the spot, actually, but I know. So you're on the air and you're talking to me, and there's a restaurant owner on the air saying his business and his staff, are skint. They can't pay their mortgages. I can't pay me bills. My business is going to go after 30 years.
The business is going to go.
Okay, so and you're there making a good point about saving lives. I'm not saying you're not, and that's a good point to make. But how do you convince, as a leader or as head of NPHET or head of the government, that it's all going to be worth it? You know, and how do you convince me that, you know, I mean, tell me, like you're saying, there's not as many people locked down, and I understand there's a bit more traffic than there was in March. So what's the answer? Do you call in martial law or something like that? I mean, where do you go from here, Stephen?
No, but you see, I think, Noel, at the initial stage of this, there's a lot of buy-in from people, but at this stage, people have a pain in their arse with it. Unfortunately, that's what it is. But there's no enforcement of it. So if you have a restaurant that's open and that's abiding by that rules and doing what they should be doing, that's fine. You can have one down the road who's jam-packed and there's no penalty for that. From the very start of this, there's been really, and maybe that's because we're not able to, or is it just the type of people that we are that we don't enforce rules to the letter of the law?
I think a lot of these guidelines have been down to personal responsibility. It's pretty difficult for the Gardaí and the administration and the government to keep an eye on everything that's going on. Because unfortunately, the Gardaí, they're losing staff at the moment as well, because there's a lot of staff, Garda staff, not available for work, just like there's no HSE staff available for work. All because people are at home, and we only spoke about this earlier on, people are at home self-isolating, who may not even have the virus. You know, with critical workers who can't go to work because of the policies that we've put in place, rather than giving them a quick antigen test so they could go back to work. But that's a whole different argument. But I do get the point you're making, Stephen. So you think it's irresponsible?
I just think we need to have a... Like, before we start marching around and going open up all the restaurants, we understand the people behind all of this story, whether it's the HSE, that's people that work there, or businesses, people that work there. But there's a pinch point, and the pinch point is in the hospitals where people are sick, and ultimately where a lot of them are dying because of this. And I think we just need to consider that before we start marching around telling people to open up, regardless of what's going to happen.
Okay, well, do me a favour, stay there a second, because I want to go to Thomas after the break as well, who I think disagrees with you. I have a pain in my arse now with people like Stephen. All right, okay. Well, you don't even know Stephen. We are being made ticks off. People flying in from everywhere, and we are forced to stay in. Just open everything up. Okay, well, it's not that simple, I don't think, you know. Obviously, some people would support that, some people wouldn't. Niall, I don't believe the idea of having no cases at all is even a possibility. Somebody else says, fully support what those Italian restaurateurs are doing. So much of what the government, the HSC and EFET are telling us makes zero sense and just fear-mongering. We've had enough, says Tom. Niall, it's grossly irresponsible during the current pandemic for any business to take it upon themselves to open up and spread the virus even more. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Number's 087-188-0008. I'm asking you, do you agree what the Italians did, or some Italian restaurants did over the weekend? Well, actually, thousands of them did, which was open up in defiance of the government, basically saying we've had enough of this. They're doing it in other countries as well. I'm asking you, do you agree, or do you believe that's grossly irresponsible? Let me know what you think. The number's 087-188-0008. All right, some of the texts coming in. Sean in Cork said, they told us last March to flatten the curve, it'll only be for 2 weeks. They told us masks were useless. They lied about the COVID deaths because Varadkar admitted that regardless of cause of death, the deaths were listed as COVID. When is Paddy going to wake up? Open the businesses. Sean and Cork. Who's Paddy? Oh, Paddy. You mean the Irish people in general? Okay, not that's Stephen I thought you were talking about there. Let me go to Thomas. Thomas, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Thomas?
How's the farm going, Noel?
Good. Thomas, I mean, this idea or this movement, you know, across Europe of opening the businesses in defiance of the government and, you know, health advice, is this irresponsible or do you believe people have just had enough?
I think people have, I don't know, what is an awful shame, I think, is that the government haven't put any trust in these people to abide by the guidelines. They've had a week or two here and there, and then they've been shut down. I mean, when you think of it, like, these people that own these businesses have poured their heart and soul into it.
Yeah, when they put screens up and all sorts of carry on, yeah.
But when these people have to close their businesses, they didn't go through the awkward process of telling their employees that they don't have a job. And then their employees have gone home and the stress at home are not being able to pay bills and pay mortgages. And unfortunately, some people aren't built to withstand that amount of pressure. So that's just the cruel reality. Some people
are better at handling stress than others and financial difficulties than others. Yeah.
And it can cripple people. It can cripple families. Or we've all been there when we've been a bit tired of a few quid, like, you know. And I think it comes to a point of no return where people are kind of saying, look, well, like, take my chances with getting this virus and getting over it if it means I can have the business, because I can fight this virus maybe, but I definitely can't sustain the pressure at home.
Well, 99% of people will survive the virus, and most people actually won't get symptoms at all, and very few people will get mild symptoms. So in saying that, it is a small amount of people, but, you know, there are people out there who are in a vulnerable category and vulnerable groups who have less chance of survival.
You do, and listen, I understand that, and that's I'm not trying to discredit any deaths or anything. I've known people who unfortunately have passed away from it, but I do fully believe that this virus won't take us down. It'll be the crushing pressure from bills, economy, depression, that it will eventually get...
Okay, well, let me go back to Stephen. You know, are you still there, Stephen?
I am, Eileen.
Yeah, and, you know, this is a huge part of it too. The damage that's been done to the country, not just the economy. I know it's not always about money, but money is important because with money comes health as well. But wealth, they say, is, and health are intrinsically linked. I mean, there's also, you know, the mental health damage is due to people, the lack of surgery or what they call non-vital surgery, which could be vital and reduce people's mortality overall. All of those things, you know, some people would suggest and some experts will kill more people than the actual virus itself.
Yeah, I know. I agree, Noel. It is about a balance, and here how we get that balance right. There's been mistakes made, and there will be mistakes made. But we can't just say "fuck you, Jack." I'm all right. Like, you know the way. So if I'm okay. I'm young. I catch it. I have mild symptoms. I go to a restaurant, the pub, and I'll go out and enjoy myself. While somebody else then is on a ventilator in hospital because I'm assisting that.
I understand what you're saying, and there is an argument when we talk about trade-offs in life. I'm not referring specifically to COVID-19, but let's say, for example, 170 people die on average every single year. Actually, more people died in 2020 in car crashes than they did in the year before. But anyway, and you'd imagine it would have been less with less traffic on the road. But because people die and innocent people die and innocent people end up getting, thousands of people probably end up getting maimed or seriously injured or end up in a wheelchair for the rest of their lives because of it. We don't turn around and ban cars. You know, even though innocent people get hit by cars and innocent people end up the victims. So you don't ban cars. We haven't banned smoking. And look how many people die of sepsis. But look how many people end up in hospital every year with lung cancer.
Yeah, but you mentioned people not going for surgeries and stuff. But, like, they're not going to go for surgeries because the hospitals can't take them in because the numbers are the way they are.
Yeah, but more people are going to end up in hospital this year with cancer. And a lot of that is to do with, you know, our lifestyles and smoking and many other things as well. But we don't ban those things. Do you understand what I'm saying?
There was a balance there where they were able to keep that stuff running plus deal with what they were dealing with. Within the hospital environment. But at the moment, they're saying that they're not, and that's because the numbers are the way they are. So if we go...
Well, it's not particularly about the numbers. It's because we're lacking the staff now. Because in one day, for example, last week, 7,000 members or staff members of the HSC were at home, self-isolating. So, and the majority of those, by the way, didn't have COVID-19. They would have been a close contact maybe of somebody who did. You know what I mean? So that's the biggest problem we have is a lack of staff.
Yeah, but that's only because they've been exposed to it and that they have to stay at home. So again, that feeds into what I'm saying about is about the numbers that's involved with it. Like currently, there's too many staff out sick and there's too many people in hospital with it. So that's the pinch point. So they can't have people can't go in and have this regular operations being cancelled or at one point. If something was to happen in Cork, for example, like saying last week, they had no ICU beds. Like.
And what's going to happen if the government turn around in, say, 6 months and say, listen, you know, the vaccine is very good and it stops you getting symptoms, but it still, you know, it doesn't stop you being infected and we're still seeing thousands of cases every day. You know, we can't open up yet. You will have to lock down again. And we just keep opening up, locking down. How long do you think business can last in the country? If that continues.
There's a lot of places now that won't last much longer or haven't lasted this far enough. But all I'd say is that in March, we can point the finger and say we were told this, we were told that. Nobody knows. Like. The experts that are involved with this don't know exactly where this is going. Like. There's different theories.
Well, I understand, but we're kind of making it up as we go along. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, sure. I think we have to accept that.
You're saying we have to accept that, and I understand the point that you're making in relation to saving lives. But these businesses are saying, you know, there's more to this than just people in hospital. There's people with businesses. And you can argue, and I do accept to some degree the argument money, you know, health is more important than money. And I agree with people when they say that. But with that money also comes people's health, people's despair, their poverty, which indeed can force people into situations of suicide and all sorts of other horrible things to go wrong in their lives. So, I mean, all those things are important. These are all balances in life. Health is more than just physical health. It's mental health and it's social health as well. But let me just bring Carl in as well. Carl, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Carl?
How you doing, Niall?
Carl, it's a kind of difficult one. And, you know, I'm not saying I support the businesses in Italy, but I do understand their frustration.
I understand their frustration in Italy, but to have people going on in Ireland saying that we should do the same thing. There was some foreign business owner you mentioned his name earlier. That's what he wanted to do. Well, I think his visa should be taken away from him if he wants to do that. If he wants to open his business to allow more Irish people to spread the virus when the hospitals are pleading with him, please stay at home. They opened the country for 2 weeks before Christmas. Look what happened. We locked it down on the 26th. Look what has happened now to date. The figures are going back down again.
Yeah, but again, there's many people will argue as to why the figures go up and down all the time because it's to do with seasonality.
Because we keep opening and closing the place now.
Yeah, but what are you going to do, Carl? What's the solution then? Just leave it closed completely?
Well, pretty much. We're going to have to lock it down until we get a vaccine. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I know Peter wanted to say or Thomas wanted to say something there. Thomas, sorry, you wanted to say something there.
No, I find it's very easy to say. Just keep it locked down, like, you know, very easy.
It's easy to say, isn't it? Yeah,
it's just as easy to say. So why not open the whole thing up, like, you know?
Well, if we open it up, all the people are going to die. Look at the amount of people.
Everybody isn't going to die if you open it.
Why you put a guideline?
I never said everybody's going to die.
You said all the people.
All you have to do is look at the figures. We had the figure at a very, very low rate before the Christmas. We opened it up. for people to do a bit of shopping and to entertain their families. Right?
And then, and by the way, you do know that they're saying now it was nothing to do with that. They're saying now it was students coming home for Christmas.
Well, also that, also Niall, we had everybody allowed to come home from Canada, Australia, America, you name it, and they weren't allowed. They weren't asked for a PCR test. Yes, when I have to, when I travel abroad and I have to go and see my family, I'm asked for this PCR test. But now Ireland allowed everybody in. They didn't check them, test them, nothing. That's it's typical Ireland. But only now, I think it started on Friday there now, they've started asking for the PCR from worldwide, not only UK and South Africa. It is about time. They should have did it.
Mind you, I don't know whether you listened to the start of the show, Carl. We spoke to Josephine, who's sitting in an airport as we speak, waiting to fly at 1:30 today. She went and got the test because you get a test 72 hours now before you leave. And nobody's even asked her for the results. She said it was a waste of money.
You'll be asked the results on the other side.
Will you?
Well, they should have been. Initially, the staff.
But she shouldn't be allowed on the plane, and allegedly, unless she has a test with her.
Yeah, well, this is it. I don't know what. That, again, that's down to the staffing and the management in Dublin Airport.
Okay, but okay. Let's not get into it, because I find with this whole COVID, the blame game. The emotional blame game of, oh, don't get COVID or you'll kill your granny, or, you know, it's the students' fault, or it's the people who went out and had a work office, you know, get together there before, it's your fault. This blame game is pointless. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. I mean, at the end of the day, viruses are seasonal anyway. They always have been since history began. So most likely the case numbers were going to go up this time of the year, as they do every year with influenza and common colds and other viruses as well. So,
no, that's incorrect. No,
it's not incorrect. Viruses are seasonal.
If you looked across Europe when Europe locked down for Christmas, their figures went down. Yeah, but Ireland, we opened up.
The United Kingdom was locked down before Christmas. They didn't open, and their figures have gone up too.
Yeah, but that's what they did, the new variant. We're talking about all the other countries.
Ah, it's the new variant, yeah. No, I'm just saying, their case numbers went up as well, and they were locked down for Christmas.
Yeah.
I gave you an example a few minutes ago of Florida, which hasn't been locked down since last July.
Their
numbers are actually lower than ours.
Look at the other 30-odd countries around Europe, how they locked down and how their figures went down during the Christmas. Have you looked at that?
I'm not going to get into an argument with you, Carl, as to whether lockdowns work or whether they don't. There's two sides of the argument. There are scientists who believe they didn't make no difference. A published paper only last week said lockdowns make no difference. There are those who believe they do make a difference. We are where we are. But the point is, we have to consider
balance. Is this your point, Niall, or is it everybody's point? Because
I'm saying you have to try to listen to everybody, Carl. That's all I'm saying.
Down. I tell you what, look at the figures for the rest of Europe except the UK.
Carl, there's no need to get so excited about it.
Look at the figures. You keep shooting people down.
I'm not shooting you down. I'm just saying we have to consider everything.
But it's not only your fucking point.
Carl, there's no need to use bad language on the radio. There's no need to get so annoyed. All I'm saying is, you don't shoot down debate, Carl. I accept your view, and I accept that it's important that we save lives. But I also accept Thomas's view that we have to strike a balance. Do you not accept that?
A balance for what? Do I worry about a restaurant closing down, or do I worry about another 68 people dying?
It's not about a restaurant closing down. It's about the hundreds and thousands of people around this country that are under financial and mental strain.
And there's hundreds and thousands of people in this country under a lot health strain because their parents or family members are dying.
Yeah, and I accept your point. I understand that. Look, without being a crow, I would sooner lose my business than lose my parents. And fair play, Sean. That's your point of view. Fair play, Sean. I respect that, but you have to respect the people out there.
Would you prefer to save your business or save your parents? What would you prefer to do? Would you prefer to save your restaurant or your bar, or would you prefer to save your parents' lives?
That's a bit of an emotional argument, because Carl, that's not going to be the trade-off that happens all the time, because that's not how many people are actually dying of COVID-19. Sadly, some people are dying of COVID-19. There's no doubt about that, particularly those in the very vulnerable groups. But to suggest that if businesses open up that everybody's parents are going to die, that's not going to be the case, Carl. And that's a bit of an emotional argument. But I get what you're saying. Carl, Thomas, stay with me. I have to take a break.
Hi, Niall. Hope you're well. Working from home, so can't come on, but I don't agree with you at all saying it's not a big deal with the 16 people. you know, nepotism that the kids of the guy who runs the hospital got it? And are you saying that nobody thought to ring the nursing home that's beside the hospital, or to ring the staff that were at home and say, listen, can you hop in the car? We have a few extra vaccines. The people working on the COVID wards, the people that have been working for nearly a year at this, that they don't deserve to get that vaccine before family and friends of those that are probably not working in COVID wards and, you know, listening to nurses on RTE and everything else. You know, family members, nurses falling like flies, ads being put up on social media to help with nursing homes and hospitals. Give them all the vaccines. Not the friends and family of the staff, the people that are on the real front line in the hospitals. Gardaí, firemen, ambulance, carers, cleaners, hospital porters. So think about that for a minute, Niall. Thanks.
Thought about it, you're probably right, to be honest with you. I understand, but I didn't mean it wasn't a big deal. I just believe that, you know, in the big scheme of things, out of 77,000 vaccines, 16, you know, I don't know whether people deserve, maybe you believe people deserve to lose their jobs over it. I don't know. Maybe they didn't look hard enough to see if there was other people available or more deserving of the vaccine. The point is, probably everybody will get the vaccine who wants it within a period of time anyway. Let me go to Agnes. Agnes, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Agnes?
Hi, how are you? I just want to wish for everybody a good year and healthy year.
Yeah, I wish the same. I hope it works well for everybody. But you're from Poland, Agnes.
Yes, I am from Poland.
Now, I know there's a bit of a movement in Poland as well, for restaurants and bars to open up in defiance of the government. Do you think that's irresponsible?
I think, yes. If the owners go through, you know, with the whole restrictions, with the distance, sanitizing masks on the face, I think if... Niall, if you want to stay at home, you just stay at home. But if you want to go and meet with people, just go and meet with people. I am 43 and I am at home since last April.
Yeah.
I really have enough.
So your mental health is suffering because of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I can completely understand that, and everybody's in the same situation. You know, we were only talking about it at the weekend, that it's very difficult, it's very boring. We're not going anywhere, we're not doing anything, and nothing to look forward to. It is difficult for people, and I get that. And by the way, I don't agree with everything Carl said. I agree with some of what Carl says. I think Carl has been over-emotional about the whole thing. I understand there are sadly some people who have passed away. But, you know, we have to put things into perspective, and people's mental health and non-COVID health is equally as important.
Everybody have a different point of view.
Absolutely.
And different situation, yeah. You know, in their life. Everybody have different...
So what would you say to restaurant owners around Europe who, on the 30th of January, I think there's a big push for this?
Peace of mind, you know, peace of mind. Check what you can do. Ask your solicitors what you can do, what government exactly can do against, you know, who can stop your work? Who can stop your work? Really?
So if they could do it safely, i.e. with screens
absolutely.
And social distance,
absolutely.
You would say go ahead and do it.
Safely, distance, go ahead. That's it. People need that. You know, I meet people before the restrictions number 5 level, and I just saw that, you know, the Irish people, I am devastated. I am devastated. You know, I'm really sorry for everybody. For everybody, you know, who died, who family members died. I am really sorry because... In Poland, my friend, aunt and uncle died 2 months ago. But only because they can be treated what they're supposed to be treated.
Yeah.
Because on the first is COVID.
Yeah.
This is absolutely not fair for everybody. You know, you start about the vaccination.
Yep.
I don't know. I can tell you. I am from Limerick. I live near nursing home. Half of the members, not members, half of the elderly people don't want to take the vaccination.
Well, I know there's after what happened, I think, in Norway, they've associated some deaths, sadly, to the vaccine. I know they're now, the HSE put out a guideline, again, that if somebody is very unwell or very frail or elderly, that maybe they shouldn't get the vaccine. Now, again, the HSE, you know, will give guidance in relation to that, and I'm sure that the GP, the local GP in the nursing home will give guidance to that. Listen, Agnes, thank you very much indeed. I'm running out of time there. Oh, I'm just sticking with the topic just for the moment in relation to the restaurants. I want to go to Evron, who is a restaurant owner in Cork. Evron, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Difficult time, I know, for everybody, and particularly for the hospitality industry. Restaurants, pubs, particularly the wet pubs, haven't been opened at all, really, since last year. And you guys got to open for a couple of weeks just before Christmas and then became the blame for everything, I suppose, which I don't think was the case, to be honest with you. But anyway, there's a level of seasonality and a level of everything. I think blaming people is a bit silly, to be honest with you, at this stage. But I mean, where do you go from here now? You've been told more or less it's probably going to be the end of April before you get to open. I'm sure God only knows that might last a few weeks, then you could be closed again. We don't really know at this stage. So how do you feel at the moment?
Yeah, indeed, I completely agree with most of the stuff what you're saying over there. And I've been listening to your show last half an hour or so, and I was listening a few of the commentators over there, and they're blaming most of those things for hospitality industry, restaurants, pubs, and hotels. But that's not the case at all.
The data on outbreaks, for example, that we've seen being posted by the HSE doesn't suggest that. Primarily, the problem is the hospitality industry, and primarily the problem is hospitals, care homes, and the home.
Well, from first hand, I'm just going to put everything to you very honestly. First of all, when all this COVID things come last March, it was ordered by the government, I think 22nd of March, to close down all the hospitality industry. But what we did was we closed 1 week earlier because my business partner, he is diabetes, and I have another guy over there. He had a problem with underlying health issues, and we just escalated the whole thing, and we said, look, we can't take a risk. We don't know what it is. So we closed even 1 week earlier than government advised us. And a lot of businesses, they did that too as well. So
out of caution, yes, because we weren't sure what we were dealing
just
with.
Just caution. And 8, 9 out of 10, they did everything what we've been told. You know, we kept the social distancing guidelines. I took out more than half of the seating and everything inside my restaurant. And we separated the areas. You know, we did everything we can. And we had, luckily, no case at all. Like, I heard no one. We had no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, so you never got a call at any stage from the HSE.
Nothing whatsoever. And a lot of premises were the same. And only 1, 2 out of 10, they didn't follow these. And, you know, there are some cases over there. Mm-hmm. You know, things happen. But you cannot generalize everything and put everyone in the same basket. And there is a lot of things involved in this, which you were talking. For example, traveling restrictions and these and that. We could have done things better. For instance, like having PCR tests on the airports and all these kind of things. But look, it's easier to blame someone. I can blame you. You can blame me. We all blame each other. And where do we go from there? Nowhere. Closing down and all these things, is it working? I don't think so. I tell you from first hand, last March we closed down and we allowed to open up for takeaway. And the amount of people are right now and the last March, it's tenfold. The amount of people are on the street right now, 10 times than first lockdown. Last lockdown, there were some days.
Why do you think that is? Because people are not complying or bored. People are bored.
People are pissed off. I'm sorry about the language. People are they feel like their freedom are taken from them, and they're doing everything. They're wearing masks. They're sanitizing their hands, and they're keeping social distancing. But then again, they can't do certain things, and you know they can't just go and grab a coffee or sit somewhere. I mean. Why can't we do things like people that they can do other countries? Like you were giving example of Florida. Yeah, we all know that viruses are going up in this time of year, and amount of people are dying. Their numbers are announcing 50, 60 people. All these people were relatively.
Well, I was looking. We mentioned Florida earlier on, and just to clarify, obviously there's more people that more cases and more people dying, but they've 26 million population, 26 million people.
Correct.
So if you put per head of population, say yesterday, for example, I think Florida would have had less deaths and less cases than Ireland.
Yeah.
And they have no lockdown at all.
Yeah.
And there is an argument as to whether lockdowns work. Some people say they do, some people say they don't. But the point is, this idea in Italy and Poland and other places, where particularly Italy over the weekend, where restaurants just said, look, we've had enough of this, we're open. And they opened in defiance of the government.
Yeah.
And now they're calling for a mass opening around Europe with this new movement, I think for January the 30th or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, are you in favour of that? Or is that, as some people have said, is that irresponsible?
Look, Niall, I'll put it this way. When in this kind of circumstances, I'll never put my myself in priority. I'm not going to do anything stupid. For example, let's say, I'm just going ahead with it. I'm just going to open up. Let's wait for another while, see how this thing escalates. And anyway, we knew that numbers are going to go high after the Christmas period, and a lot of these numbers are. There is no transparency over there. I believe those numbers are backlogs of tests from Christmas time.
Well, there was some backlogs of tests. Yes.
Yeah. So they also they have to give us a breakdown of the deaths. What those people are the age group and if they have underlying.
I know they don't give the age groups every night, but they did say on RTE the median age of people dying currently at the moment is 85 or 86 years of age.
Yeah.
So that's the median age. So there is no doubt, I mean, we don't have to see the numbers. There is no doubt that sadly the vast majority of people that are dying are people who are quite elderly and close to end of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, we understand that. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
But they are somebody's mother and father or somebody's brother and sister.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can't be irresponsible and we just, okay, let's just gonna open up. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. No, this virus is not going to go anywhere even after the vaccination. This virus is going to be a part of our life. We're going to live with it. We're going to learn how to live with it. Every year in the world, there are 600,000 people are dying from influenza. So there will be people who are dying from viruses 2022, 2023.
Okay, finally, everyone, you know, how are you financially, by the way, obviously, and your own mental health? I mean, are you managing to get through this? Will you be able to open back up again?
I tell you honestly, a lot of, like, including ourselves, a lot of places are, they're running by the thread. I mean, we're just...
Are you in debt?
Oh, yeah, massively. We all took bank loans and these and that. But anyway, these are not free money. We all have to pay them back. And everybody is suffering. We all on the same boat. Hospitality industry is one of the biggest industry in this country. So a lot of people rely on that. They're losing their jobs. How they're going to pay their mortgages, their rents and these and so on and so forth. I mean, I don't know how long this is going to continue like this.
That was my final question. So the government have said at least, well, Leo Varadkar said at least until the end of March, right? All businesses currently closed will be closed until at least the end of March, possibly the end of April for, say, hospitality. And pubs, or wet pubs, as they call them, no end in sight. It could be August. Now, they may turn around in April and say, actually, no, we're going to leave everyone closed till August. So how, if they did that, if they turn around and say, you know, end of April, end of August, whatever it happens to be, or you're not going to be open for the summer, how are you going to deal with that? Are you going to be able to deal with that?
Niall, I just don't want to think that far ahead, because when I'm doing that, it actually scares me. So I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to take day by day and see how it goes. And I don't want to worry about it 6 months
and
later.
It's
not going to help my mental health, you know?
But if others were doing it, the point is, would you open against government guidelines? Is that something that you would consider doing, or do you believe that's possible?
I would follow government guidelines. I wouldn't go against an uprising and I'm just going to say to people that just go on, open up. No, that wouldn't be the right way to do it. And look, we are now middle of January, and I believe 3 months' time from today, we'll be in a different position, and things will be a little bit better.
I hope so.
I'm an optimistic person, so I believe that within 3 months' time, we'll be in a different position, and hopefully we'll get around this thing, you know?
All right, well, listen, I wish you the best of luck, everyone. Okay.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Well, by the way, what's the name of your restaurant, everyone?
It's called Nosta in Marlborough Street, Cork.
Okay. All right, okay. Give it a bit of a plug there. All right, sounds great.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.